Hi, Warwick. This is Ian Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Warwick. My name's Jacob.
Hello, Jacob. Welcome to the Tradies Business Show.
Okay, do you think my mum is awesome?
I think your mum put you up to that.
No, she didn't, did she?
And she's in the room, so I'm going to say yes, she is. Do you guys think your mum's awesome?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the best part about me?
He lets us go out with her.
She lets you go out with her? Oh, that's
nice.
There's
a red up there.
What do you like about me the most?
You got me an Xbox One, which is about $600.
There you go. Money will get you everywhere with kids.
It will.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
So welcome to the Tradies Business Show, listeners, where we put our kids up to saying cool stuff about us on air or bribe them with an Xbox One.
I know.
Hey, Christmas is coming up, Michaela. Just saying, I don't have an Xbox One.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, I had to break the news. Hope there's no children listening, that perhaps Santa is not real.
Ooh, you're having those conversations.
He's worked it out. And he's also worked out that, you know, every Xbox One game is like $100 that he wants this year. And there's a lot of games out this year.
He's got to do a lot of chores.
Yeah. Because he's going, I don't understand why I can't get a new laptop, Mum. Well, because Santa doesn't make laptops. Yes, he does.
He makes Xboxes. He must be able to make laptops.
Yeah. So, he's pretty heartbroken at the moment. So.
Well, that's, I've got a little while before I think I have. Although with my 4-year-old girl, you know, she's been diagnosed with what used to be called Asperger's. So very, very intelligent.
What's it called now?
Just
on the spectrum.
Just ASD.
Yeah.
High functioning. So super intelligent, but struggles with the social stuff. But anyway, part of being so intelligent is she figures stuff out really quickly. And I think she's already cottoned on to the fact that how can Santa be in the shopping centre getting photos done and out delivering presents when sleighs don't fly, reindeer don't fly, and she's 4.
Yeah.
So I think this is...
You're not going to get to 9 like I did. I reckon I could have got another year, but when he was going, I just don't understand why Santa can't bring me a laptop. and then he came out with it. He said, is Santa real? I was like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Ba-bom.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Oh, well.
And he was pretty devo. He goes, oh, I didn't think he... I thought he was. No. He was, like, bluffing me.
Yeah.
So he was, like, gutted. Yeah, so he was really gutted. And I swear, because he's got two younger brothers, do not tell them.
Yeah, so we'll keep your mouth shut and I'll get your laptop.
Yeah, so see how that's going to go this year. But broke my heart.
Well, it's going to happen.
It is.
So, g'day, listeners. How have you been? You, where are you at the moment? You rattling around in a ute or sitting in the site shed? We've got a really cool episode today. And it's relevant to the whole family thing. So our guest today talks a bit about work-life balance and running a business with a growing family. 3 girls under 4, I think.
I think, yeah, she's got 5, 2, and 1.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
And at the same time, being a tradie, cover some ground today, you know, making the decision to quit a business and focus on another one. There's some fantastic topics in here. And our guest is Beck from The Plummet.
Yes.
So she has a blog called The Plummet now.
Yeah, and she's an award-winning female plumber. She started her apprenticeship in 2006 and finished that in early 2011. And she also won Queensland Plumbing of the Year, Apprentice of the Year.
Mm.
For Queensland, then the following year was named Australian Plumber of the Year. So she certainly, you know,
She's an accomplished tradesperson.
She is in her young years, and she tells a story about how she became a plumber because she wanted that work-life balance, but then when it came to it, she just wanted to be, you know, at home, and it was a bit hard running the business and everything. So she really does tell a great story, but she also tells a story about how she got her award-winning blog up called The Plummet. And it talks about all things plumbing and lifestyle renovation and family and faith. So it's really morphed into this amazing lifestyle and plumbing renovation blog. And so it really helps. That's now producing an income for her. So that's how she's turned from being on the tools to now building this blog. So,
which has been featured on KidSpot, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and she's won some awards, and she's really getting a name out there in the blogging sphere. So it was great to have Beck on talking about blogging for business and what tradies should do to help promote their business and yeah, like making some tough decisions about following your passion and things like that. So
how to say no to something.
It is. Ooh. So enjoy our interview with Beck. And welcome to the show. It's been a long time coming. I know I've been trying to get Beck on here for a while. So I've got Beck from the Palmette today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
G'day, Beck.
Good to be here. Hello. How are
you? Now, you've got a lot going on in your life. And yes. And so tell us a little bit about, you know, we always love having the lady tradies on. But tell us a little bit about your background and where you are today.
Okay, yep, great. Well, I started my apprenticeship back when I was 22. That was around 8 years ago. And I started it under my dad's plumbing business. So my dad had our family plumbing business, had it probably 15, maybe even 20 years before I actually even started working in it. And I started as an apprentice because my goal was to have a business that I could work in so that I could have a family. And ironically, it just came around that Dad was looking for someone to take over the plumbing business that was very similar to him in, I guess, in personality and work ethic. And he looked at me, and I said to him, I had already told him that I was looking for some sort of business opportunity to, you know, to build, so that by the time I had my kids, I'd have a business, you know, running underneath me. And so he took me under his wing, and I started my plumbing apprenticeship. And a lot of things have happened in that time, because I started that in 2006, and then in 2008 we had the global financial crisis. And even though it didn't affect us, despite the fact our work was in commercial plumbing, so we would do inner tenancy work in the city. So we had actually a fantastic couple of years where, when we had the drought in Brisbane, we were doing up all the bathrooms and all the buildings in the city. And but when the 2008 crisis hit, we probably got hit for around 2009-2010 when contracts probably started to cease. And at that time, my dad had been busy with our family business for, you know, quite a time, and he wanted to change. And I said to him that I was a bit overwhelmed. Wasn't sure how I was going to run a multi-million-dollar business by myself. So we made the change then, back in 2008, and I was still an apprentice then, by changing the clients that we would work for. And so we decided to start our residential plumbing firm. We were still JPL Plumbing, but we started doing residents and doing, you know, going to stay-at-home mums, you know, going to the elderly. And we promoted our business on 96.5, a radio station that a lot of families listened to, and promoted that, you know, we were a plumbing with a woman's touch, and we had a female plumber on board. And that's what we started to do. So in that time, I then had my first baby, and I think I probably only had 6 months off to have her, because then we had the January floods in 2011, and so that got me back on the tools again with Dad, because we had a lot of houses that we had to help fix up after those floods. And then in between that time, so between around 2011, I started my blog, The Plummet, and I just remember talking to Dad saying, I've written a book about how I became a plumber, and I thought, if I start a blog, it'll get the readers, you know, to my book if it ever gets published. And so I started my blog, and it was all about, you know, just teaching people about why, you know, to use plumbers, you know, to do their plumbing work, you know, why it's not a good idea to do it yourself, you know, explaining why do plumbers charge a call-out fee. You know, I wanted to be the communication between a plumber and a client. And so that's how I really write my blog. And I thought, oh, you know, all plumbers are going to follow me and read what I write. And I think for a year, the only person that read it was my mum and husband and maybe a handful of, you know, friends, you know. And so a lot of it was a bit technical, and as technical as I could be, because obviously being a licensed plumber, you're not meant to, you know, show people how to do their own plumbing. So I'm always mindful about what I write on my blog. I just give enough information to let people know or be informed about what, you know, what could be the issue. So I started writing that in 2011. Then 2012, then 2013, I had my second baby, Maggie. And after that, I went back to work 6 months after I had Maggie. And I think I was only back in the third, like 3 months in. And I found out I was unexpectedly pregnant again with my third child. And at that time, look, construction had changed a lot in that there was a lot of paperwork. Obviously, in business, there's a lot of paperwork and a lot of safety. There's like a big push on safety, and it just adds stress to running a business. And at that time, my dad said, look, I want to retire. I've been doing this, you know, since I was 15, and I don't have to wait another 12 months for you to, you know, finish with your third baby. So we ended up making, I guess, a hard decision in December 2013 to stop our family business so that I could focus on being a mum to my three girls. I was going to have three girls under four, and dad was going to pretty much retire. And I was probably a bit depressed about that because I thought the whole reason I started my apprenticeship was to, you know, take over my dad's family, you know, plumbing business. And here we were closing the business down because I wasn't going to be able to handle it with my three young girls. So I was probably a bit depressed that Christmas, and I was actually really thinking, well, where do I go? What do I do? And I was pregnant at the time, and I was spewing my guts up, so there was really nothing that I could do other than look after myself and the two girls I had already. But at that time I realised, well, what did I have in front of me? What could I use to build on that I already had? And that was the Plummet, my blog. And so what I did was I consistently started blogging on the Plummet more consistently, probably weekly, and even just opened up a bit about personal life, about faith. And that's brought me, well, 2 years now, we're 2015, that's brought me to now where the Plummet is starting to earn an income for myself. So it means I've still got a foot in the door. Even though I'm not actually working as a plumber, I'm still writing about plumbing things, and about family life as well. But, I've still got my foot in the door while I'm at home with my girls. And that's really my story.
Wow. Thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry.
No, all good.
That was a good summary.
But it's interesting that, you know, your trade has taken you to a whole nother, business really, where, you know, you've gone from, being on the tools to actually running, I guess, like their media sites now, really good blogs. And I know I met Beck at some blogging conferences over the last couple of years because it's a passion of both of ours. And it's great that now that's been able to provide you some income, because I know you do love it and love writing. So it's great you've been able to use your trade in a different way to create the blog.
Yes, it's I would never have thought of it or dreamed of it. I mean, like I said, the whole reason I started the blog was so that I could get readers, so that I could promote my book, which I actually have had sitting in the back burner because I've just been so passionate about the blog. And also I've had my hands full, with my three girls. Yeah, it's just interesting. And I guess, looking at my story, like I'm also very passionate about, you know, engaging or telling, you know, young girls or even women who want to get, you know, hands on the tools, that there's so many different career opportunities, you know, in the trades. And I've always actually said that when I started my apprenticeship, and I've seen it happen to, you know, other female plumbers. Like I know Carly, who's a Brisbane plumbing inspector, she was always someone that I kind of looked up to as I was doing my apprenticeship, because there's not many of us female plumbers around. And the other thing that I did when I did also start my apprenticeship was I went straight to Google to find other female plumbers, and there was nothing really written about female plumbers. And in a way, that's really why I started my – another reason why I started my blog, because I know there must be girls out there who are about to start and they're worried, they're scared, you know, am I going to be able to do this? And when the Plummet comes up, they can actually go, oh, yes, I can, because, you know, Beck's been able to do it. So even though I'm not quite doing it at the moment, you know, that resource is still there, you know, of the history of, you know, what – Dad and I did, how we managed our business, you know, around me having kids, around family, because it is a big juggle, actually. You know, it doesn't matter really what business you do. If you work for yourself, it's always busy. The work is never done.
Yeah, and so I, you know, myself and my husband, we have three young kids as well, and we do find that work-life juggle quite stressful at times. So what do you have for families out there that are trying to have that elusive work-life balance and actually, you know, be able to look up, look after themselves as well as their family and the business?
Yep, okay. Well, the first thing I'd say is actually just admit that it's hard, and we all know it's hard, but sometimes I think we find it hard to admit it. We don't want to admit that it's actually really a big struggle, so admit it. Yes, it is a big struggle. The second thing is obviously put priority on your family. One of the things I see in a lot of trade businesses is that you've got a husband, you know, who's a tradie, and you've got the wife who generally does the accounts, and that's really what our plumbing business principle, it was like that. That's my dad was, you know, on the tools, and my mum was actually looking after the accounts, and it was the same as when I started my apprenticeship too, although I'd also took on a bit of the admin. But it can just overrule your life where it is just work, 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 work. And if you don't put time into, you know, have family time away on holidays where you don't have the mobile phone, because that mobile phone will ring you when you're in Australia or anywhere, you need to have no contact pretty much, so you can just focus on each other. It really needs to be a priority, because I find that we make our businesses so that we can be flexible in working around our family, but then we work so hard that sometimes they put on the back burner, and then an issue comes up and suddenly our family can fall apart. And the whole reason we started our business was, you know, for financial prosperity and also for, you know, flexibility with our family. So it's really hard to manage that balance. And look, Nicole from The Builder's Wife, she's another great blogger that I'll mention on here. She actually writes about it, because the same thing, she does the accounts for her husband, and her husband is a builder. And she says it's hard for herself even, you know, trying to carve out that time. But what she said, and she said, wrote in a post last week, and it really resonated with me, and I think it'll resonate with a lot of people listening today, is that some weeks it will be really busy and then other weeks not so. And what you need to do is you just need to kind of counterbalance. So the weeks when it's a little bit slow, that's when you really focus on your family. And then the week when it's not, when it's really held for leather, you know, on the tools, you know, accounts, whatever, that's, you know, you work your heart, and then you just got to find those moments. You just, if you understand, it's like a pendulum, you know, it's never ever in balance dead straight. It's just a pendulum. You know, one week it'll be a bit more family, other 2 weeks it will be, you know, constant business. And I think for a lot of us, a lot of the time we find it's just constant business, but we need to find the time to counterbalance it. But that's my advice. But it's easier said than done, though. But I think it's really important to, you know, our families need to come first. You know, we need to put that priority on there, because actually work can fall away, but our families, well, they don't. So
it's a bit of a tradie mentality, and I come from a trade background or a family with a trade background as well, Beck, but that hard-working thing is, if you're not actually busy, then there's a bit of a mindset that you're not doing anything productive or you're not actually contributing, and to take that family time when it's available feels like laziness to a lot of our listeners, I suspect. How do you actually, like, do you have any strategies for yourself to stop you from slipping into that? Well, I could be spending time with my kids, but there's 1,000 things I should be doing, and, you know, sitting here on the couch reading a story is not being productive. How do you personally kind of manage that yourself?
Oh, it's hard. It's really hard. And to be honest, this year's probably been harder, because that's what I've been learning, is I've been actually writing for other publications, and then coping with the plumber, and then coping with 3 kids under 4 when 1 is 1 and 1 is 2, and they're just everywhere. Like, I make a decision obviously during the day to be with them, and at night time I'm, you know, down, you know, working really hard. But there are times, like, especially on the weekend, for example, I could be working because my husband's home and he could be looking after the girls, but then I haven't seen him because I've been working during the night, during the week. And the weekends he's home, but I just want him to look after the girls so I can actually, you know, just get a bit ahead. I never do. It's really, it's making a conscious decision to go, no, Saturday is our family day, or making a day on the weekend or wherever it is, for an afternoon, an hour. I don't, you know, you need to make a conscious decision. And that's what I've been doing, trying on the weekends not to work. And if I do, it's very limited. I give myself a time of, it's only for 1 hour or 2 hours max, and that's it. And as soon as that 2 hours is up, I get away from the computer and I go and spend time with my girls. The other thing I also find really good to do is actually just going away, like going and actually doing something with the kids. Because I find if you go like to, like, you know, even somewhere like movie world, that's probably, we can't all afford to go to movie world all the time, but, you know, somewhere where you're away from the phone actually really helps as well, because the phone actually draws you back to your business as well. So somewhere where you can, you're away from the phone, but it's always a conscious, it's got to be a conscious decision, and it's really hard. But I will tell you, a story, and I hope my dad doesn't mind this. You've also got to have perspective about the work that you're doing. My dad and I have always had a great relationship, and tell you a story. Back in year 12, I had my school formal, and my dad actually purchased my formal dress. The first formal dress I ever had, or I had, my mum actually bought with me, and my dad looked at it and said, "Nah, you're not wearing that. I don't like it." And because it wasn't red, red's my favourite colour, and it's his favourite colour too. So we went straight into the city. He goes, "I know the perfect place to go because I've just done the plumbing in the building and I know where we've got to go." We went to Tim Lindgren, who was he's a designer. And I said, "Dad, do you realise this? This is not like Mr. K or, $200 formal dress." The dress was probably $600, but Dad was just so chuffed that he was able to get me this dress, and it was just beautiful. So formal night came around and my dad wasn't there to see me in my dress. And the reason being was he was working directly for a new client, like a business that had moved into a new tenancy, and he was threatened with liquidated damages. And my dad, because he was the owner of our plumbing business and we were the plumbers on that job, he felt compelled he had to be there to see the job to completion. So he did. But he missed out on seeing me at my formal. And I actually didn't blink about it, you know, and I still don't blink about that he wasn't there, because the whole experience of going and getting my formal dress is really the memory for me. But I know it hurt. I know it crushed him, you know, that he made that decision. 18 months later, that client went bankrupt. And if you think in hindsight, you go, wow, if you had known that was going to happen, you know, would you have spent that time to, you know, maybe you would have organised someone else to, you know, be there that night if you had known that was going to happen 18 months later? So always having good perspective about your business, and when you combine it with your family, I think that's really important. And so I think when you have that perspective, it helps you then to make that decision to spend the time with your family.
Yeah, great advice.
Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense.
Yeah, it was a great story. It demonstrates the importance of, you know, being there and making those choices. Now, you were saying that, you know, you started your blog because it was originally to help build the plumbing business. And this is something, an area that I'm passionate about with our tradie listeners, is they don't really yet get the power of what a blog and content marketing can do for their business. You know, the benefits of Google and storytelling and being able to reach new audiences organically and providing value and helpful information to their customers.
Yes.
So what tips do you have for a trade business that's looking at perhaps or should be looking at blogging on their website, and how can they go about it, and what are some tips to make it easy for them?
Okay. Well, that's how they should be doing it. So you should have a blog. Most web plumbers will have a website now, because obviously most people, they don't go to the yellow pages anymore. Well, very rarely do they flip through yellow pages. The white pages, whichever one it was, they go straight to Google and they put in plumber in whatever suburb, you know, they live in, and it's, you know, the first three or so plumbers that come up are what, you know, they'll end up ringing. And but the beauty of having a blog is that it can help with your search engine optimization, which is probably a bit technical, you know, for people listening here. But having a blog, it's great actually showing these are the jobs that we've been doing. You know, it could be a bathroom renovation, it could be unblocking, you know, a toilet, which sounds gross, but people actually love that kind of stuff. Like I once put on there what a block sewer looks like, and, you know, it just kind of went a bit viral because people just love seeing, you know, gross stuff, I guess. Having a blog and showing those stories actually also gives the person who is reading it confidence in your ability as a plumber, because there's often a lot of lack of confidence in bringing tradies to come to your house. So I see the blog, it's great for doing that. I also know that some plumbers are going to be going, well, how the heck am I going to have time to blog? Because it does take time. You know, you've got to take photos when you're out and about. You've got to remember to take the photos. And I remember when I was on the tools, it wasn't about taking photos. It was just getting in to get the job done. And then I'd get in the truck and go, oh, God, I should have taken a photo to put on my blog. So I actually think you need to utilise your apprentices in this, in that, if you've got apprentices, they are so savvy on Facebook, on social media, and while you're also training them, you know, to how to be on the tools, you know, train them about, you know, can you update our Facebook page? You know, get them involved in your business. And that way you're not, you know, putting stress on, you know, the, your girls, you know, in the office, and your apprentices out in sight anyway. And they're probably got an iPhone or, you know, Android phone that they can actually, you know, do a mini blog on, you know, on Facebook. You know, get them to do it. You know, think a bit smarter about how you can use your employees when you're out and about on site so that you're not doing everything. But yeah, the power of blog, you know, it really connects people. And I'm always, through the plummet, always getting people actually writing to me. Oh, Beck, for example, one of my blog posts, you know, how to change a skew toilet pan, it's probably one of the highest hitting posts on my blog, because obviously people are going on to Google. It's an uncommon it's a common plumbing problem for a minor few, where they've got a skew toilet pan and they're not sure, you know, how to get it fixed or what to do. And so they put it in Google and up comes my blog. And I've had so many inquiries about, oh, can you come out and fix my skew toilet pan or change it around to a P-trap? And I've had to say, no, I'm not doing this at the moment, and I'm forwarding to another plumber. So that's what happens. You know, so someone will have a genuine question about a plumbing issue. And if you have got a blog that you've talked about, you know, a specific issue, usually that blog will usually come up in Google, and then they'll comment, you know, on your post or contact you and say, well, can you come and fix this for me? So that's, you know, one aspect of blogging. But yeah, the storytelling is really important, really just to build confidence and just to build a community as well, because with plumbers, you know, you need clients, you need a community of clients, you know, to constantly be feeding your business. So, you know, what better way to serve them, you know, providing a blog and telling them what's going on in your business life.
So, Beck, obviously you've got some uniqueness there with the fact that you're a lady tradie, you know, you're a lady plumber. How important is it that our listeners have a niche or figure out what their uniqueness is? I mean, I shouldn't say it's easier for you, but what would you say goes into positioning themselves in the market so they're not just another plumber or just another chippy?
Yeah, you need to find something unique that sets you out. And the other thing I also, and that's not something that I actually even learned from my dad, you know, our work was always in a city tenancy work, you know, so we're always in Brisbane buildings. So my dad knows all the Brisbane, you know, all the buildings in the city, well, apart from the ones that, you know, been built in the last 2 years, you know, off the back of his hand, you know, knows where the stacks are and how the plumbing runs in them. And so that knowledge, you know, that's why there were only, I would say, only three other plumbing firms that were in our niche, you know, in the city. And it was very specialised in the city. And so we all, you know, the three or four plumbing businesses that, you know, were in that niche, we all pretty much consistently got business. So finding that niche is really important. I think when you're covering so many different trades, you can get yourself in a bit of trouble. And I've seen plumbing companies do that and they've just fallen over. When you're in a niche, you just know it better. You know how to service it better. Don't underestimate the power of having a female tradie in your business. And I said that from the start when I started my plumbing apprenticeship. A female tradie just, and it's not about discrimination about clients, you know, wanting just a female plumber. Just having a female presence, it just looks great for your business, you know, because you're an equal opportunity employer. So, you know, an avenue of going there. I'm trying to think of, you know, other avenues. I don't know if I answered the question. I hope I have.
Yeah, and I think
it is important to have a niche, because you can service it really. You can service it so well that you're known for that niche. You know what I mean? And that's what Jacob Plumbing was known for. We were known for inner tenancy work or a hospital. We do hospital fit outs or, you know, dentistry. We were just known that we would, you know, get the job, you know, done, and we knew what we were working with in the city. So, you know, it's your reputation that comes out when you're niche based, and that's what helps you get the work and consistent work as well.
Yeah, yeah, and it's hard, I think, for a lot of people in business, let alone trades, to say, well, if I pick one thing though, then I might miss out on work in other markets.
Yeah, I understand that as well. Do a bit of market research and work out, you know, what areas, you know, of plumbing, you know, are lacking. And I'll tell you one, it's roof plumbing. You know, we're always getting, like, to be honest, all the plumbers actually don't like being on roofs, you know, and I understand, but there are roof plumbers that are very specialised. and can do, you know, I even work with some of the roofing apprentices that take, and, you know, what I would do in an hour, they could do in, you know, half the time because they were just so used to it and they knew what they were doing. So, you know, look at areas that are lacking, you know, solar hot water units, you know, like, have a time of just brainstorming. Go, well, what areas, you know, will people be needing a service in? Backflow valves, you know, getting, testing them. You know, sometimes it's hard to find, a plumber, to do that because they've got to have the right license for that. Or septic tanks, you know, what is something that is hard to attain? So you've got to do an extra, a bit of extra work, you know, to get the license that you can then specialise in, because that will set you out, you know, and that's how you find your niche. And yeah, that's probably the best way to, you know, work out where to go, you know, with your niche. Another thing, solar hot water units. You know, everyone was going crazy putting solar hot water units in, but I wouldn't have a clue how to service one, to be honest, because I haven't, when they were installed, it was just as I was getting, having my kids. So, I know how to put one in, but I wouldn't know really fully how to service one. So go, you know, get the knowledge or the training to know the ins and outs of everything about, you know, solar hot water units and make that your niche. You know, there's so many different avenues, but you probably sometimes just need to sit down, have a brainstorm and work out where is the need. You know, where what am I getting constantly calls for? Is it, you know, even unblocking drains or having cameras down drains? You know, so for us, we actually never unblocked drains. We would always have a plumber that we knew that we would call to put all our unblocked drain work through. And for the cameras, you know, putting cameras down sewers to, you know, find out why they're blocked or, you know, find cracks in pipes. You know, that was another niche, you know. So finding a niche is all about finding what you're constantly getting called for, or working out what people are really needing or having trouble finding, if that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And it's something that also I want to touch on that you raised in your story at the beginning is about that decision to end a business. I know for a lot of people that's, you know, it can be a really tough decision whether they should just hang in there and, you know, the light's at the end of the tunnel, or really it's not going anywhere, they're in the wrong market or whatever, or they just don't love it anymore or have that passion. And you said that was a really hard decision for you guys. So talk us through the decision-making process that you went to end that business and how you dealt with the, I guess, the disappointment.
Absolutely. Well, I work well within a team, and that's what Dad and I were. We were a team, and I think when you have a big business, a plumbing business, you need to have a team. You need to have someone, you know, an offsider. That's, I really believe in having on one person's shoulders. It's just, it's full on. So I knew, I think you've got to wake up to yourself and realize, work out what is it exactly that I, you know, that you want. And for me, I worked out that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mum with my girls in the early years, and I realised that in order for me to do that, I probably wasn't going to be able to do a plumbing business, and that was a really hard reality, you know, to come by, because I thought, oh, all that work I've done, you know, it's all for nothing, you know, all those awards, you know, it's all for nothing, you know, but you sometimes you've just got to, you've got to admit to yourself, what is it that you really, you know, really want? Is what you're doing at the moment going to get you to where you, you know, you want to be? I didn't want to be a stressed mum. I didn't want to be putting my kids, you know, 60 hours a week into daycare or being someone else to look after them. So for me as a mum, it was probably a bit easier decision to kind of make, but it's still hard, and I'm not watering it down. It was really hard. It was a depressing Christmas. I was probably crying every morning working out what the hell do I do now? you know, it was a big curveball. It just completely took me by surprise falling pregnant with my little baby, but she was the best surprise ever because she's taking me on a completely different journey. So when you do close a business, don't ever think that nothing better is going to come your way next. You know, so there could be, you know, an opportunity could just come, you know, by right when you need it. And that's what I found with the plumette. But, you know, making a hard decision like closing a business, you just can never underestimate, you know, that there will always be good things coming your way when you have to make that really hard decision. But, so, you know, 2 years later, here I am, talking to you, and you know, back then I wouldn't have known what the heck I was going to do, where I was going to go, you know, who was going to employ a pregnant plumber, you know, at that stage.
But I guess it's about being open to opportunities and just letting yourself be available to have whatever's going to come your way. I think that's so important.
It is, but facing the hard facts, what is it that you want? And I think my dad had to say to me, and said, Beck, I know what you want. You've been saying that, you know, all through your apprenticeship, you wanted to have kids, you wanted to, you know, juggle work with kids. But, you know, listening to wisdom of older business people was really good as well. You know, and obviously my dad, you know, he's a very wise man. He could actually see in my heart what I really wanted to do, despite the fact he knew it was going to be the hardest decision and it was going to break my heart. And it was the worst timing, you know, just being before Christmas. But, you know, it also was probably the best time because then it kind of made me look elsewhere and go, well, what do I do now? Where do I go? And I mentally just thought, well, what do I have? You know, what do I have right here in front of me? And I have my blog, and that's why I just ran with it. So, you know, some tradies have big businesses, you know, big trade, you know, construction businesses or, you know, plumbing businesses. And it's a daunting task to close up shop with a lot of pride. So there's another thing as well of mentally, how it affects you, and also the pride. You know, a business that I was going to take over, and we've been telling all our clients, back, you know, my daughter was going to take over Jacob Plumbing, and then suddenly we closed it. Like, there's a lot of, you know, I was, you know, I felt very, I can't even think of the words top of the head, but, you know, when you're proud about what you're going to achieve and then suddenly it's just taken, you know, it's gone, you just feel.
Well, your whole identity gets wrapped up in that.
It does a little bit, yeah, it does. You know, something my identity, well, I'm not Beck, you know, the plumber anymore. Like, I'm Beck, I don't even know what Beck is now, you know. So, but I was Beck the plummet, you know, and I'll always be Beck the plummet. and that's what I was known with, and that's what I, you know, that's what I'm doing, you know, writing as Beck the plummet. So, there's a whole heap of issues, but make sure you've got support around you, you know, when you make a big decision like that. And, you know, my husband was great with that as well. You know, he just knew that, you know, and we just got through that, you know, that initial stage. And then 2014 was one of my best years for blogging because my blog was recognised by KidSpot, and then end of last year, you know, I won 2 sponsor awards, you know, which just took me by surprise because I thought a plumber winning a blogging award, like how the heck in Beauty and Garnier, and I had a whole plumbing aspect, you know, in the blog post, but, you know, I won, and I just thought it was very ironic, you know, how it all, you know, how that year just played out.
It goes, you know, it goes to show following your passion where it can lead, and you obviously made the right decision to end the business and follow what you really wanted to do, and now look at the rewards and joy that you get out of it.
And also sometimes saying no to things, like it's the stuff you say no to that allows those other opportunities to blossom. So by saying no to plumbing, you've opened the door to this whole, you know, blogging space.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, you just don't even know where, once you close one door, you don't know where the new window or the new door is going to open, you know, next. And it can be, and I guarantee you, usually it's better than what you already had before. So I just encourage anyone who's going through that at the moment. I've been there. I know what it's like. And you just one step, you know, one foot in front of the other, just step through it and just trust that, you know, good's going to come out of it. And I really believe that, you know, and I always remain positive. Always optimistic, even when things look crap around you, you think, how the hell am I going to get through this? Always remain positive, and you will get through. And, you know, you'll be like me 2 years later looking back and going, wow, I got through. And not only did I get through, you know, I've been honoured, you know, through it as well. And it's, you know, it's opened up a passion. It's opened up new doors that I just didn't expect, you know, for them to be open up to me. So
awesome. Yeah. Well done, Beck. That's such a fantastic story.
Well, thank you. It is good.
So one thing we like to ask all our guests is if you had 100 tradies in the room, what would be one piece of advice that you would like to give them?
Yeah, I was thinking about this and I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't even know what to say.
Well, you certainly have given a lot of great advice.
I've given a lot. Yeah,
yes.
I have given a lot. But just taking back, you know, about my whole formal, you know, night, just, I've seen so many plumbers, their marriages have fallen apart, because they've spent so much time in their business working, and it's an easy thing to do. It's easy, and it takes 2 to make a marriage work, okay? So I'm not saying that it's plumber's fault, you know, that the marriage has fallen apart. I'm not saying that at all, but, having a business, it can really put a strain on your marriage. And then if you have a financial issues and, you know, builders aren't paying you, or you've got, you know, stress of liquidated damages, and it's got nothing to do with you. It's because the frigging tiler didn't show up, you know, but you're being blamed with it. You know, it can just add stress to your relationship. So try, like, each week to find time to spend time with, you know, your loved ones, you know, because the whole reason we're in business is again for flexibility with our families and also financial prosperity so that we can take them on holidays, so we can pay for them to go to school and, you know, all those things that we dream of as a family together. Often what gets lost is those dreams. You know, in the process, we're always thinking about, you know, how to make the business keep, you know, going, to get, you know, do all the itty bitty stuff that you do every day. So always, you know, put pride on your family. Honestly, yeah, that's probably the best advice I can, you know, give.
Great stuff. Well, Beck, thank you. I know you've got two small girls asleep in the other room at the moment. So thanks so much for stepping out to have a quick chat to us. Been great having you on the show. Some fantastic insights there for our tradie listeners, even our guy tradies, who I'm sure can identify with so much of what you've talked about. So I thank you again.
Great. And
thank you.
Beck, where can our listeners read more about you on your blog?
Or get absolutely. Mm-hmm. So they can head to theplumette.com.au, theplumette.com.au. And then I've also got a Facebook page and Twitter, so I've got all those handles on my blog. But, you know, feel free even just to, you know, contact me. You know, if you've got any questions or, you know, just need some encouragement, feel free to, you know, email. I actually love hearing from other plumbers. You know, just hearing their stories as well, you know, or, you know, saying, oh, what would you do in this situation? You know, I actually love, you know, being able to do that because it helps me feel like I'm still out there, you know, helping in some way.
Yeah, great.
With our tradies. So feel free to approach me. But, yeah, that's my blog, and I'd love to hear from you or see, you know, read or comment, whatever.
Awesome. And we'll put a link to your blog, your website in the show notes for this episode. So, Beck, thank you very much again. You've been very abundant with your time and your tips. And we look forward to seeing bigger and better things from the Plumette.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Beck.
So great chat with Beck from The Plumette. Go check it out. As she said, theplumette.com.au is her blog. And, you can find out more about her story and some of the content that she creates and maybe even draw some ideas for your own industry of how you can use a blog in your business to position yourself as, you know, the expert, basically.
That's it. And if you want to know more about our show, tradiesbusinessshow.com, we're also having a revamping our blog up there as well.
Exciting stuff coming.
There is. So there's going to be audio and written and all sorts of exciting stuff. And we're getting a revamp.
Freebies. So go check it out if you haven't been to the website for a while. Now's the time to go and take a sticky beak. And we will see you there, or we'll speak to you in our next episode. So until then.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.